A senior Russian general has been killed in a car bomb. He was Lieutenant General Faniel Serverov, the head of the Operational Training Directive of the Russian Armed Forces General Staff. He's the third high-profile Russian general killed in the city this year and comes as Russian drones hit Volodymyr Zelensky's home city and the Kremlin claimed to have captured another village in eastern Ukraine. Meanwhile, the EU Council has approved economic sanctions against Russia for another 6 months, and talks in Miami between US and Ukrainian officials have not reached any agreement on how to end the war, nearing almost 4 years now. Dr. Jenny Mathers is with us again. She's Senior Lecturer in International Politics at Aberystwyth University in Wales. Dr. Mathers, good afternoon. Thank you for taking our call again today. One resident quoted in newspaper reports described the car bomb as the cost of war, and Russia is already looking at if Ukraine was responsible.
Yes, well, it would be logical to assume that the Ukrainian special services would have had something to do with this, considering the fact that this is a senior Russian general who's been involved in the war, and it's not the first time that someone with this profile has been killed in this way in Moscow in recent years. So yes, although we don't have any definite proof, obviously, it would be sensible to consider that that's a possibility.
The war hasn't come to the streets of Moscow often. Sanctions, the continuing loss of soldiers. What has been the impact of this war on Russia so far?
Well, the impact has been very varied. In some regions, some of the poorer regions of Russia have lost a lot of the men in their communities because the opportunity to earn lots of money by serving in the military and going to fight in Ukraine has been very tempting for people who don't have many other economic options. And so you have some communities absolutely devastated in terms of, you know, the loss of members of the community, and other areas, you know, hardly seem to have been touched at all, with the exception of, you know, not having the same kinds of shops or cafes available to them as they had in the past. So it is very varied across Russia.
More talks in Miami. The French president due to talk to the Russian president this week. Lots of talk, lots of noise, but very little change so far, Jenny.
Yes, that's right. I mean, we don't know the details of what's being discussed in Miami, but what we do hear in public suggests that, you know, the Russians and the Ukrainians are still very far apart on very fundamental aspects of what would be the basis for any sort of a peace deal, with things like, you know, what territory will be controlled by whom, for what purposes and why. But also what kind of security guarantees the Ukrainians might be able to call upon if a peace deal is reached and if Russia were to breach it. So, you know, we'll have to see, obviously, what comes out of these talks. But, you know, it doesn't look as though the two sides are going to be reconciled anytime soon.
Yes, I see. The Kremlin yesterday denied that three-way talks between Ukraine, Russia and the US were on the cards. This apparently was at the suggestion of Volodymyr Zelensky. But there doesn't appear to be any suggestion that Russia and Ukraine are going to get to sit down and talk with each other?
No, the Russians have been very reluctant, in fact, adamantly refusing to speak directly to Zelensky. Putin describes him as being illegitimate because, you know, Zelensky's election came after the Maidan protest and revolution in 2012-13, which, you know, the Kremlin regards as being a coup backed by the CIA, not a legitimate kind of change of power in politics. So, you know, at the moment, Putin refuses to negotiate with Zelensky, refuses to regard him as legitimate. But also, it really suits Putin to be able to go, you know, and speak about these things directly with the Americans, because it really sort of emphasizes the idea that Russia is a great power and sorts out these important issues with another great power, the US, and doesn't really have to address a weaker power, a lesser power such as Ukraine.
Russia, Russian news agency, the RIA news agency, reporting today, and this is according to Reuters, that Russia is ready to confirm in a legal agreement that it has no intention of attacking either the European Union or the US-led NATO military alliance. That's according to the Russian deputy foreign minister. Although at the weekend, Swedish authorities boarded a sanctioned Russian ship in the Baltic Sea. A lot of worry amongst a lot of European countries, but what the Russians are doing in the waters around countries here.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Russia is kind of sending out this huge shadow fleet of hundreds of vessels, mainly to transport oil so that it can get around sort of economic sanctions and restrictions. But also, it is believed and concerning, kind of an anticipation that Russia is using the shadow fleet also for covert operations, for intelligence gathering, perhaps to launch drones that have been appearing in different European cities, perhaps to threaten and cut undersea cables that carry a lot of internet, data and so on, and allow us to keep connected. So there's a lot of worry about what might be happening with this shadow fleet above and beyond the transport of Russian oil.
Heading for 4 years now, Dr. Mathers. Russia's wars have a history of being long, almost semi-permanent in some cases. Is this one heading that way too, do you think?
Well, I think Putin would be really happy to do a deal, but only if it sort of addresses all of the points that he is demanding. If it gives him everything he wants, then sure, he'll sign on a dotted line. But there's no sign that the Ukrainians are willing to go as far as Putin wants, and therefore I think, is happy at this point to continue to sacrifice his fellow citizens and continue to wreak all kinds of damage and destruction on Ukrainian civilians and military people alike. So, no, at the moment, I'm not optimistic that we're going to see a quick end to this war.
Dr. Jenny Mathers at Aberystwyth University in Wales, thank you for speaking with us again.